let's do it. It's Russell Westbrook Day on Mason in Ireland. Today, he will officially be introduced as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. And as Chris Morales said, we are hoping to grab Russell Westbrook after his introductory press conference, which we will carry live here, John.
And could happen any minute now. There, people are assembling at Staples Center. They're doing this at Staples Center, not at the El Segundo, because... And by the way, I think this is the first press conference at Staples Center since the pandemic.
Really? So they do it just—they're doing it inside Staples Center?
Inside the Chick Hearn's press room.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
So cool.
So that tells you the magnitude of what we are about to hear. Because Russell Westbrook, in my opinion, is a transformational player for this Los Angeles Lakers team. And we'll talk about this throughout the show today. And we're getting a phone call now from, I think that's just a Zoom thing. I think that one of the things I got from Carmelo Anthony, and we'll play this a little bit later on in the show, is that Carmelo clearly understands what it takes to be a Laker, what it means to be a Laker. And I kind of wanted to dig into that a little bit today, John, with some callers. What it means to be a Laker. Because, you know, we talked a lot about, for example, Dennis Schroeder and didn't really get the quote-unquote Laker thing. It requires a certain type of player to really wear that purple and gold well.
Well, the first thing is you have to accept what they accept, which is championship or bust every single year. If you go to the finals and lose, that season is a failure. And if that's not your mindset, if that's not your mantra, if you want to be patted on the back for finishing anything other than with the title, then it's not the team for you.
Yeah.
Then you can go play for the Clippers.
I mean, I also think, John, that there is a respect for history. You know, this is... You know, the most historic franchise in the NBA, one of the most iconic franchises in all of sports. And I think that the guys that get it understand that. They understand what the jerseys in the rafters mean. They understand what all those championship trophies over in El Segundo mean. They understand the history and the great players that have preceded them as Los Angeles Lakers. I think there's also a respect of history that goes along with what it means to wear purple and gold.
Well, a couple of things about that. I've always said that I don't know who the greatest Laker is, but I know I could take a team of the greatest Lakers.
Yep.
And I could give you the rest of the league, and sure. My team would beat your team. My guards would be Magic and Kobe. My forwards would be LeBron and Elgin Baylor, and take your pick at center between Wilt, Kareem, and Shaq.
Oh, God.
And by the way, the guys we don't take all go to the bench, including guys like James Worthy and Anthony Davis. Okay? It's the Laker history is unsurpassed. And, you know, people say, what about the Celtics? Go ahead. Not only will I give you the Celtics, I'll give you the Celtics and every other team.
Right.
Come up with a team that beats my team. And we could have Phil Jackson or Bill Sharman coach it. We could have Chick Hearn broadcast it. I mean, there really isn't another franchise that has that level of excellence from start to finish ever since they got here in 1960, which is why I was really glad to see LeBron take on the challenge. LeBron knows that no matter what he does, even if he rattles off four more titles, that the job of greatest Laker ever is probably taken. You know, I don't know if it's Magic or Kobe or Kareem or Shaq, but it's probably taken no matter what LeBron does. But if you're willing to step into that void, to take on the face of the Laker job, the people that have had that job from the beginning of time have all been set for life.
Yes.
I mean, think about it. Jerry West basically was the face of the Lakers in the 60s. Elgin a little bit. Elgin started in Minneapolis. But it was basically Jerry West handing it to Kareem, handing it to Magic, handing it to Shaq, handing it to Kobe, handing it to LeBron. That's your list. That's it. You know, if you can get in that club, that's pretty, I can't think of anything more exclusive.
Face of the Lakers is pretty great. The other thing I think is really important is the Lakers fan base is among the most intelligent basketball savvy fan bases there are. They are smart. You guys that follow this team, you guys that comprise, for example, Lakers Twitter, you guys that call in and the very first day they signed Russell Westbrook talked about, yeah, what about the spacing? You know, you guys are really, really smart NBA fans. And I think that is also to be respected by whoever wears purple and gold. Lakers Nation is real. It is powerful. It is intelligent. It is smart. And they get it. And they expect their players to get it too.
By the way, did you hear Flea light up Travis Rogers this
morning? Yes, I did.
Oh,
yes,
how great
I did.
Was that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting a call from Anthony Kiedis at any moment, just to be fair.
He's a Laker fan, too. I've interviewed him a bunch when I was doing sidelines.
Have you?
The one thing that I will say that I don't even think you get yet, and Travis obviously doesn't get, is I don't think people realize what Westbrook brings to the table. I mean, all these questions about, and you're not as bad as other people, but you've been doing it, is
sure.
this stuff that, well, Russ can't shoot. Russ can't make good decisions. Russ can't do this. If you focus on what he can't do, you're ignoring
right.
all the things he can do, which basically no one else can do. He's led the league in assists 3 out of the last 4 years. I saw him do Mace. I did a game once where Russ went 20-20-20.
Wow.
20 points, 20 rebounds, 20 assists. Think about that. Who else does? Maybe LeBron. But nobody else has that skill set.
You know, but here's the thing, and you say I don't quite get it yet. Russ the player is just state of the art. Russ the player is so much fun to watch. Russ the player is the human video game, as you like to describe him, as plays 100 miles an hour with his hair on fire, all that stuff. It remains to be seen, and I think it's TBD, it remains to be seen what it looks like when they're actually on the floor. Because what we've done is we've pulled together another roster, basically a completely separate group from the group we had in 2020, from the group we had in 2021. It's a completely different group. And I think it is a fair question, and we'll talk about this as we get ready for the season too, but it is a fair question to say, yeah, but how's it going to look? How's it going to play out? How are the egos going to match? All that kind of stuff I think is totally fair. And I think it's all TBD. I don't think you know what it's going to look like.
I think that I think the Lakers are going to the finals. And I think the reason they're going to the finals, despite all these people on ESPN and TNT, everybody saying, well, they're old. They're not going to be able to defend. I've heard this for 2 years. Frank Vogel's been the coach for 2 years. They've had the number one defense in the league, no matter who's out there, including this year where Anthony Davis missed 36 games. Vogel's going to get him to play defense. And offensively, I don't know how you guard him. I don't know how you guard Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis on the same team. And I heard Stephen A. and Max both say, well, the Lakers won't be able to beat Brooklyn. Really?
Oh, see, I don't know that either. I mean, honestly, you know, Brooklyn, I've not even seen those guys play together for the most part. I mean, they played together for just a handful of games. They had 2/3 of them alive for the playoffs or actually available for the playoffs. I don't think we actually know what Brooklyn's going to look like over a full season either. They've got wild card. You know, Kyrie is a wild card. Kyrie is a temperamental
guy. Maybe the definition of a wild card.
Yeah, I mean, he really is. So I'm not ready to proclaim them champions. I didn't proclaim them champions this year. I never thought, and I obviously the injuries played a huge role, but I never picked them to win it all this last year.
Yeah.
Now, I did pick the Lakers, which was obviously not correct, and I will tell you in advance, I'm likely to pick the Lakers once again. I just think, John, we don't know what it's going to look like until we actually see it on the floor, and I think it is going to require sacrifice on the part of Russell Westbrook and LeBron James.
Rob Pelinka, Frank Vogel, and Russell Westbrook are making their way to the stage.
Excellent.
And I think Rob is going to...
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Lead it off.
Compared to if you could keep your phones down somewhat and not just stand up during the press conference, and we'll be good, and to wait till we call on you to ask a question. As for the mic. All right, we'll give it over to Rob.
This is an exciting day, and appreciate everybody being here in person. There's a few people we want to thank before we get into the formal introduction of Russell. First, I wanted to thank Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, and KCP for their Laker legacies. Two of those players, of course, are champions with us, and they'll always be Lakers, so want to thank them for their journey here. Wanted to thank the Washington Wizards organization, Ted Leonsis, and their general manager, Tommy Shepard, just for the spirit of collaboration and professionalism and handling a transaction that was seen as a win-win for both franchises. And then I wanted to also thank Thad Fouché, Russell's agent, just for his role in all of this as well and his spirit of collaboration once we made the trade to onboard Russell with our team. I think today is an incredibly exciting day for the Lakers organization. To be sitting on the podium to introduce one of the best playmakers that's ever played in the game is something we feel incredibly fortunate and blessed to do today. We had some goals this offseason as we were transitioning into building our team, and two of the primary things we wanted to address were adding another playmaker to our roster and then adding shooting. And I think over the last couple weeks, I'm sure all of you have seen that we've been able to meet those goals with a lot of confidence. And today is about the playmaker piece. I think in thinking about Russell Westbrook, there's two things that come to mind for me as a general manager. One is that he's one of the most liked and respected and beloved players in the league by players he's played with. He's an incredible leader. And when you talk to teammates from the other storied franchises he's played for, to a man, the input you get is that he's one of the great teammates they've played with. And that speaks to his character and his leadership. And those are qualities that are incredibly important to our team. And then the second thing is, I think he is in an elite class of players in terms of his competitive nature. One of the core qualities as we build a roster is seeking out guys that have an ultra sense, a heightened sense of being competitive warriors on the court, players that played with the ultimate sort of grit and grind and tenacity. And Russell stands in an elite class in that category, and that's drawn us to him. And then I would say the last thing that I've really seen in the growth of his game is early in our careers, I think all of us, when we're young, we see things a certain way, and a lot of his triple-doubles early were done with force, but I think now his triple-doubles are done with force and with thoughtfulness, and how he uses the pieces and the players he plays with as teammates and makes the sum of the parts greater than each individual. And I think he's really learned how to think the game at a higher level. So those are some of the qualities that attracted us to this day, and we're proud to introduce Russell Westbrook as a Laker and take your questions. So thank you.
First of all, Russell, welcome back. We were just talking earlier about when you were about 12 years old, you were watching the Laker parades and stuff like that. And even then, you knew you wanted to be a Laker and how much this day means to you. The other part of the question is, in the past, you've been used to being the focal point of the offense. Now you don't have to worry about that. And what adjustments will you make now that you're playing with people like AD and LeBron?
Oh, I mean, first, man, it's surreal. I think it still hasn't kind of hit me yet that being from L.A., growing up, not too far from here, being able to watch the parades, try to go to a Miss School to try to go to them, being a Laker fan and being from L.A., but now everything coming full circle for me is it's a blessing. You know, it's a lot of things I can't put into actual words just because, you know, some of these dreams don't come true for people like myself. And I'm truly blessed and thankful for this opportunity. And, you know, I can't wait to get started. And then secondly, and I've been blessed to be able to go into my 14th season. And each year I try to find ways, like Rob mentioned, to be able to uplift and make my teammates better around me. And AD and Brian are friends of mine first. And me being their teammate, my job is to come in and uplift them. And they'll do the same with me, vice versa. And as the season prolongs, we will figure it out. There will be ups, there will be downs, and that's normal. That's okay. But we will figure out how to play the best way that we want to play to be able to win a championship.
Kyle Goon, Orange County Register. Russ, I was just wondering what it was like kind of talking to LeBron and AD, sort of getting a comfort level that you guys could kind of work a chemistry and a fit on and off the court. What were those conversations like, and how did you get comfortable with the idea that you guys could all play together?
I mean, honestly, you know, this stuff happened so quickly. This happened so fast, you know, last week or 2 weeks or so. But we've had brief conversations and talked about obviously what we need to do and how we need to do that. And we'll address that as training camp and as the season comes along, and we'll figure it out.
Brad Turner,
Early Times. Russ, when you went through this process, how draining was it, how tiring was it, and how happy was your family that you got back home to L.A.?
I mean, it was, you know, anytime a situation like this comes about or an opportunity presents itself, it can be stressful, it can be a lot of emotions. But ultimately, the biggest thing for me is being in this league when you know teams that actually want you and actually want you to be a place. To me, that means more than anything else. And at that point, it's my job to be to make sure that I come and do what I'm supposed to do, and that's to come in, compete, and make sure that we have a chance to compete for a championship. And yes, my family was very, very happy.
Hey, Russ, welcome back to LA. When you look at the way the league is kind of shaping up right now, where do you see this team stacking up with some of these other contenders, and how meaningful is it for you to be back in a situation where you can say at the start of the year that the goal is to win a championship and that's potentially attainable with this group?
Yeah, man, to be honest, my mindset is I never really worry about no other team, you know, to be honest. I only can control what's in our locker room and how we able to compete and go out, and I put our team up against anybody, and that's just kind of how my mindset is, and that's where I stand with that.
Yeah, Russell, do you feel like you have anything to prove?
No, I don't. I've been blessed and thankful to be able to be in this league so long and lucky to be able to play and be healthy. When I got drafted in the NBA, that was me proving people wrong. When I was able to go to college and get a degree, that was me proving people wrong. Not a degree. I wish I got a degree. But go to college, go to UCLA from the inner city, that was me proving people wrong. Just making it out the hood was proving people wrong. I don't need to do that anymore. I've been able to bless the people around me, my family, been able to impact people all across the world with this platform that's been given to me, and I'm continue to do that. And obviously we want to win a championship, but ultimate goal is to make sure we use what we have to impact others around you.
Hi, Russell. Mark Medina here, USA Today. Congratulations.
Good to
see you. How do you initially envision how you and LeBron will share ball handling and playmaking duties?
You know, as you know, LeBron is one of the best players to play this game. And his ability to be able to kind of do everything on the floor allows me to be able to just figure it out. I'm coming to a championship caliber team, and my job is to make sure that I'm able to make his game easy for him, and I'll find ways to do that throughout the game. As it pertains to ball handling and all that, it really doesn't matter. There's many different ways you can impact the game without having the ball in your hands, and I've been able to do that for many years, and I will figure it out.
Hey, Russ, this is I know you grew up in L.A. watching the Lakers going to the parade and stuff. You also had a really close relationship with Kobe Bryant. Did you have that in your head at all when this trade was coming together and in just these last couple of weeks since it's happened?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't left my head. You know, it's things that we've talked about, me and him, you know, just the potential of me being able to be a Laker and understanding what that entails. And, you know, it's just crazy to think about, you know. And that will be with me every time I put that Laker jersey on. And, you know, that's all I can say about that.
Okay, we're going to get a few questions.
You're hearing Russell Westbrook's introductory press conference live from Staples Center. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, Russ, welcome to Los Angeles. Just to follow up on Kobe, there was that time during his last year he came to Oklahoma City and you and KD had some time with him in the locker room and kind of exchanged gifts. And I just wondered, the whole mentality he used to talk about when he thought about you was something that that Rob alluded to, that constant competitive fire. Was that the thing that he related to you most with, or did it just come from competition and all the time that you spent playing against him and so on and talking to him?
I think that was the initial thing that kind of brought us together, is being able to compete and not being able to take nights off. But we began to have a better relationship off the floor as brothers and talking about other things outside of basketball and things that we've been able to do with this game. And to me, that is the most important thing I've been able to cherish from Kobe that I will continue to cherish and live on.
Just an anecdote to that. I remember, still have his voice in my head, but the year that Russell broke the record that no one thought would ever be broken in terms of averaging a triple-double and putting himself in the category of players like the Big O, there were a small handful of players around the NBA that Kobe really felt like embodied that sort of Mamba mentality. And I remember throughout that year just his praise for Russell's approach and, you know, him talking about that competitive edge that is rare in sports, across all sports, and that I could just hear him say he gets it, like he's got it.
Okay, our next question will be from Dave McMenamin, ESPN.
Hi, fellas, coming to you from Vegas. I'll start with Russ, and I have a question for Rob as well. Russ, you've had so many moments in your career, whether it be that first round series against the Lakers, obviously the relationship with Kobe playing the Lakers in the bubble in the playoffs, that Nipsey Hussle tribute game. Melo spoke to us about how just the Lakers, even though we never played for them, always seemed to be on his radar to some extent. I wondered if you could speak to that. Did you share a type of sentiment like that where you felt like the Lakers were kind of circling in your career?
At some point. Obviously, being from L.A., you always wish that you can play for your home team and being able to do that. But that's definitely something that always kind of circled around in my mind, and maybe one day. But I always will come back and be like, that probably won't happen. But, you know, I just kind of wait to see if that ever happened. But now we're here, and I'm going to take full advantage of it.
And for Rob, last season, the team certainly was decimated by injuries, and that could have been the direction that you kind of came to a conclusion on, that hey, if we had health, we can run it back. What motivated you to make such dramatic changes this offseason?
Opportunity. I mean, I think it was an opportunity to make an aggressive move that we felt like bettered our probability to bring the 18th title to the Los Angeles Lakers. And when an opportunity like that comes, you're thoughtful, you analyze it, you look at the pros and cons, and then you make a decision. That's what leaders are tasked to do. And we felt like this was an opportunity to maximize our ability to do what we're obsessed to do, and that's to bring an 18th title to this city.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, Kate, please.
Okay, we're going to throw it back to you guys there.
Oh, do you want to go ahead? Okay, sorry, go ahead. Russell, you've always been so adamant about how Challengers and Boys and Girls Club developed who you were as a young man. Now you get to come home and be the role model for the young boys and girls who were once where you, or who are where you once were. What does that mean to you?
That is kind of the most important thing about being back home, being able to inspire and impact people, especially our youth and our communities, and especially underserved communities, especially in the city of LA, kind of where I grew up at. And my focus will be dialed into the community like it's always been, and I will continue to find ways to uplift our communities, you know, as much as I can.
Hey, Russ, Haley Winslow, Fox 11, welcome back.
Thank you, appreciate it.
You have so many titles to be proud of. What do you think is the biggest thing you have to offer to the Lakers? And then just for fun, what are you most looking forward to off the court about being back home?
One thing I always have done and always will do is stay true to myself. I think you can never waver, and I can never waver in this league and without being in it for a long time. And I always want to stay true to who I am. But with that, making sure that I'm able to listen and be all ears, because I am coming to unbelievable organization, team, and players that I'm able to learn from. Each year I try to find things I can learn and to be able to help improve my game and be a better player. And I will do that, you know, here as well. And being back home, just being able to be with my kids all the time is being able to see my mom and dad and my wife all the time is, to me, the best thing you can ask for, kind of being back home and not having them to have to travel everywhere is a blessing for me.
Okay, we'll just do a few more.
I'm going
to go with Alan Sliwa, please.
Hey, Russ, 710 ESPN. A lot of the new vets talked about how they're excited to play with you. Just want to get your thoughts on the roster, this kind of combination of veterans, obviously LeBron, Anthony Davis. Yeah. Your thoughts on the roster?
Yeah, man, it's amazing. The roster is great. A bunch of guys that I've already known previous, which is even better. And I'm more excited just to, like I said before, man, I'm always interested as I come into the season, I'm always looking at the roster and figuring out how I can make other guys better. And it's as simple as that. And I want to be able to leave an impact on people when they either play with me or come across me, and obviously in a positive way. And I'll find ways to do that with our roster. But I'm really looking forward to getting together with all the guys and figuring out.
All right, Bill Orr, Athletic, please. Just one moment.
Cool question for Frank. Russ kind of shared a little bit of his vision of how this might work out over time, but I'm curious, what is your vision for how LeBron, AD, and Russell can all work together, and in what ways do you see each of them maybe needing to adapt their games for it all to maximize its fullest potential?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think anytime you have three great players like this, there is an element of sacrifice required, and, you know, we've all talked about that and are all in on that. But these three guys can do it all. You know, and what I love about our group, Bron, AD, and Russ, is they're all make the right play players. You know what I mean? It's not just about scoring or being a one-dimensional player. You know, they can all do it all. You know, so I'm most excited about what seeing what the three of them on the court at the same time looks like. I think we're going to be an extremely dynamic, fast-breaking team, and one that you know, can play. They can play off of all three guys in many different ways. So, you know, I think with the speed, athleticism of those guys, plus the guys that the complementary parts we put together, the shooters and the defenders, I think we got a real chance this year to do something special. And it's on us now to put in the work, you know. And if you get this type of talented guys to buy in and put in the work, you know, hopefully we can achieve something special.
Question for Russell and Frank as well. Much has been made about the age of this roster. Could that actually be a weapon, something to serve to your advantage if we consider that age equals experience?
Age does equal experience. IQ intelligence helps you win. You know, and in terms of motivation, the motivation for us is that trophy. You know what I mean? Not what people are saying. You know, this group is highly driven to get back on top. And, I don't really think about anything about what anybody's saying about our age, but I do agree that the experience it will be necessary and will help us win.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, last question.
No, go ahead.
Kyle Goon
again. Russ, I was just wondering, you had so much stability in Oklahoma City for such a long time, and then you've played for a couple teams in the last couple years. Yeah. Does that change your concept of what you want out of a franchise, and is your vision, and obviously, you know, there's factors beyond any one person's control, but is your vision to be with the Lakers for a long time?
My vision, you know, in this league, you understand this is a business, and through that, you just do your job, and that's what I'll continue to do. As far as the business side of basketball and figuring out where I would be, and like I wouldn't imagine that I'd be here 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. It's just something that I can't fathom. But while I'm here, I will compete the best way I know how, give everything that I have, and I'll let the business side of basketball take care of that.
Well, Allison's coming up too. I want to thank Russell's family and support team that's here today too. And when I was an agent for James Harden, I went to a lot of Thunder games early in his career. And Russell's dad is going to be a perfect part of Lakers Nation with the energy he brings.
All right, we're going to do some photos.
Perfect.
All right, there you have it. There is Russell Westbrook's introductory press conference at Staples Center. Rob Pelinka, Frank Vogel also there. Jim Hill got to ask the first question.
Of course, that is
the traditional first question. And I thought among the highlights, and I hope we talk to Russell Westbrook. It's not a guarantee, but I hope we talk to Russell Westbrook because there's some stuff I didn't get to, John, they didn't get to, and I want to sort of circle back with Russ.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll also take some of your phone calls today. 877-710-ESPN.
Yeah.
Let you guys react to what you just heard. 877-710-3776.
Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, and here we go, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. We welcome to the show right now the brand new member of the Los Angeles Lakers, Russell Westbrook. And Russ, I got to tell you right up front, John Ireland, the guy who is sitting right here, the voice of the Lakers, he is your biggest fan in the world.
That's
John,
right.
Take
Let's
it away.
Let's go, Russ. I can't believe you're here, man. You know, I've told your family, I can't wait till Laker fans get to see you play every night. Let me start with this. One of the reasons why you're my favorite player is you play harder than everybody else. You're always going 100 miles an hour. Where do you think that comes from?
Oh, man, it's just never want to take a night off. I never want to take this game for granted. I never want to take the ability to be able to go out and compete for granted. I've been blessed and thankful to be able to do that every night, and I want to make sure that every time I step on the floor that I'm competing my ass off better than anybody else next to me on the other side of the team, other teams.
Hey, Russ, it's been reported that you and AD and LeBron got together at some point before free agency. Can you take it? First of all, is that true? And can you take us sort of inside that meeting?
No. So first, you know, me, AD, and LeBron been friends before, obviously, it did come to light. And I'm friends with a lot of guys around the league. Me and LeBron create a relationship just, you know, our families and different things. We do different things at each other's homes and go out to dinners and talk. And obviously, as players, you talk about a lot of what ifs. And if this could happen or if that could happen, that happened many a time. And that's kind of our relationship. And now to see it actually happen, you know, we've obviously talked now and going to figure out the best way to better make this work for all of us and, you know, as we kind of move forward.
We're talking to the newest Laker, Russell Westbrook. And, Russ, you've led the NBA in assists 3 of the last 4 years. And here's something I always wanted to ask you. How do you decide who's getting the ball? Is it who's ever open? Is it is all feel? Is it, hey, LeBron got the last three baskets, I might want to get AD going? I've seen you throw passes behind your head where I didn't even know people were. How do you decide where you're going with the ball?
The game always learned a long time ago that the game always tell you what to do. And that's kind of how I operate the game and figuring out the best way to be able to make the right play. You know, I'm not afraid to turn the ball over, trying to make the right play to the right guy, whoever's open. And now, you know, I can live and live with that result.
Hey, Russ, there are people out there, national media in particular, that look at this combination and say, hey, you know, we don't know if the pieces are going to fit. Hey, maybe the roster is too. How do you respond to people who are talking like that?
I don't respond. Internally, we know what we have as a team. We know what we need to do. We understand the sacrifices that we all have to make to be able to make this thing work. And we're willing to do that to be able to have one of them to go, and that's to win the championship.
Russ, can't believe you're here. I mean, yes. Literally, it's a dream come true. Russell, I don't know if anybody's told you, but one of the things I yell during the games a lot is, why not? And I saw your necklace. It's one of your favorite sayings, too, that you like to say, why not? So, Russ, I say to you, why not us? Let's get the title, man. Ready to go.
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's
thank
do
you,
it.
Russ.
Thank you very much, thank Russ.
You. All right. Thank you.
All right. There is Russell Westbrook, the brand new, newest member of the Los Angeles Lakers, introduced today over at Staples Center. And, John, did you get why not from Russ, or did Russ get why not from you?
I don't think we got I think we each kind of arrived at it on our own. I love that saying because I, you know, the different variations of it, but I kind of use it as when everybody thinks you can't do something, why not? Like, why
right,
can't
why not?
You? And I think that's how he uses it too. By the way, I want to shout out one of our listeners. D. Monique just tweeted, Ireland yelled right now with so much hype the way I need to right now but can't. Do it, D. I don't even care for your work. Do it, D. We got Russell Westbrook. We got Mace. We've got Russell Westbrook.
We have got our own big three. So tired of hearing about Brooklyn. We've got our own big three now.
So to put this in perspective, all right, one person before Rust averaged a triple-double over the course of an entire season. It only happened once. Oscar Robertson did it once in the 70s. Mace, Russ has done it four times.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody else that does what this guy does. I mentioned earlier, I've called a 20-point, 20-rebound, 20-assist game. I saw him have a triple-double once against the Lakers in 15 minutes. 3 minutes into the second quarter, he had a triple-double.
Right.
There's just, you're going to watch, he's just a flaming ball of energy. And by the way, people say, well, he's older. He played more minutes last year than he's ever played in his career. So he's ready to go, man. He is he is in prime shape.
I thought Frank Vogel used the, by the way, thank you to Bilal Hilawi, who is in Nairobi, Kenya, and listens to us every day. Big Lakers fan in Nairobi.
Shout out to Nairobi.
Spanning the globe. So Frank Vogel used the word sacrifice. I think the word sacrifice is going to be an important word this year. What do you think?
Well, it's everything. Because I'll tell you this. All these guys are used to averaging 25 points
yes.
a game. All three
yes.
of them. So now you're going to have to distribute that. When Kareem, Magic, and Worthy played together, none of them ever won the scoring title, but they went to the finals 9 times. You know, that's what you're looking for. You want the other team trying to guess every time down the floor who's going to try and score, and they're not going to be able to do it. And by the way, if you're Malik Monk or Wayne Ellington or
Kendrick Nunn,
Talen Horton Tucker,
yeah,
you're going to be alone, man. You are going to be by yourself. And if you can learn to hit open shots the way Rick Fox, Robert Horry, and Derek Fisher did, start sizing your fingers for rings.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. We'll let you react to that. 877-710-ESPN. The other thing that came through loud and clear in that conversation and in the press conference, John, is Russell Westbrook is an L.A. guy. He was a Lakers fan growing up, and now he becomes a Laker. It has to be like the headiest thing in the world to actually get to play for your hometown team.
You used to, early in your theater days, own a set of theaters in Hawthorne.
Yes, I did.
And Russ went to Losinger, which is in Lawndale, right on Rosecrans. Yep. Right, like, you could have walked there from your theaters. I can walk there. It's 3 miles from my house. The fact that they made a joke at the end about Russ's dad, every time he played a game against us, whether he was playing for OKC or Houston, his family sat right in front of Michael and I, and they were loud and into it from beginning. There's going to be a Westbrook army that develops out of this. Because you can't help but root for a guy who plays harder than everybody else. And that's this dude. And he's ours. We got him. So I can't wait. I wish the season started tonight.
In particular, if you're listening right now, you heard Russ, heard him with us, heard him at the press conference. There are still a fair amount of people who are saying, at least on my Twitter timeline, yeah, but how's it going to work on the floor? Yeah, but how do the pieces fit together? Yeah, how is LeBron, who's used to playing with the ball in his hands, and Russ, who's used to playing with the ball in his hands, how are they going to deal with that? How are they going to deal with who gets the last shot? All that stuff. I think all those are open questions. Open questions. 877-710-ESPN. Also, speaking of questions, we've got Wheel of Questions coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. Yeah! So much good stuff to talk about right now. We're moving into the season, too, man. We've got Lakers already go to training camp, right, in September?
Yeah, well, they're in summer league now. The summer league team is playing right now.
But we're probably, are we a month from Media Day, maybe 6 weeks from Media Day?
I still don't know if Media Day is going to be virtual or in person. We like today, that presser was limited availability. If you were a big wig, you got in. But if you weren't a rights holder, like that's how Sliwa got in, because we're the rights holder.
Sure, sure. Sliwa got in also because he's you know, playoff Sliwa.
Yeah. But no, he got in because we're a rights holder, and that's
of course,
I don't know whether or not they're gonna have an actual media day where they let everybody come in.
Right.
You know what I mean? They may do it virtual. But we'll find out.
Let's go to the phones. Michael in the OC is here. Michael, you're on 710. What's going on, man?
How you guys doing?
It's a great day.
Oh man, I love it, and honestly, when I'm listening to you guys, it's really authentic. You guys are so excited. You're just like us listening at home. It's, you know, you're not just a reporter. You're not just, you know, part of the media. You know, you guys are fans, and it's pretty damn awesome. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is exciting. It's an experiment for sure, but I think, you know, listening to the presser and listening to Rob, this is an opportunity you got to take, right? You know, you do all the analytics, you do the pros and cons, but at the end of the day, you get a chance to have Russell Westbrook on your team, a guy that's going balls to the wall every play, every night. I mean, the odds of us getting an 18 championship are better than it's ever really been, especially when you increase, you know, healthy LeBron, healthy AD. You get shooters like Carmelo, and I think you guys hit it on the head, too, with Wayne Ellington. You get Bazemore. These guys, if they just get in the gym a little bit more and get ready to shoot, it's game over for the league. They're going to be scared. And Brooklyn, we're not even worried about them.
Amen.
Thank you, Michael. I'm not worried about Brooklyn.
So, Mace, to put in perspective, you know, Russ, what's that line from the Taken movies that Liam Neeson says?
He has a unique set of skills.
Very specific set of skills.
Yeah.
All right, so the active leader list in triple-doubles, okay? Number four is Nikola Jokic with 57. Number three is James Harden with 58. Number two is LeBron. LeBron has 99 career triple-doubles, all right?
Yep.
Number one is Westbrook with 184.
Wow.
He almost has double what LeBron has, and LeBron almost has double what the next closest guy has, and we have both of them.
We have both those guys.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. Let's go to Devin in L.A. Devin, you're on 710. What's up, man? Hey, Devin. Lose him?
Yeah.
Lose him? Got him?
No. Devin, one more time. You there?
Oh, David.
David
in Van Nuys.
Hey, David, you're on the air. Go, David.
What's up, guys? You know, I was just watching the introduction of Russell Westbrook, and man, I'm so happy. You know, all these people talking about the Lakers age is because they're hating, because they couldn't get any of these guys. And you know what? Brooklyn, not worried about them.
And you know what? It's right now time for Kawhi Leonard, while he's sitting on the bench, to think about where he's going to go, because the Clippers need to pack their bags and get out of L.A. because L.A. is the Lakers' way, baby!
Yes, it is! Thank you very much. I'm glad that, you know, like among the first few calls after we have Russell Westbrook, we already have Clipper hate. Clipper hate arrives in the third phone call after Russell Westbrook joins the show.
Well, and what'll be interesting, too, is, you know, even though they re-signed Kawhi,
yep.
Kawhi's not going to play this year.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're back to basically Paul George and the Georgettes. You know?
Why don't we do Wheel of Questions, and then we'll get back to the calls. Does that sound
sure.
right?
Yeah, go
okay,
for
cool.
it.
Okay, cool. Jorge, do you? First of all, let me tell you, Wheel of Questions is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, Jorge, let's give her a spin. The Wheel of Questions. All right, not a hard one. What was the last thing you did that gave you an adrenaline rush? An adrenaline rush, John?
Happened today. I will send you a picture of how close I came to a second hole-in-one.
No!
I almost did it again. You'll see the ball. So I got a two, but you'll yep. see how close the ball landed. It landed probably 5 or 6 inches from the hole.
Wow.
From like 180 yards back.
Damn.
So it happened today.
Nice. Lindsay, adrenaline rush. Last time you had an adrenaline rush.
The biggest one of note would be when I was camping and I swam out to that crazy high rock that I guess they call like Devil's Rock or something.
Did you jump?
And I jumped off of it.
That
and
a girl.
Man, it was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life, and it kind of made me want to go skydiving.
Okay, so Lindsay, true story. My mom has a friend who's her age.
Yep.
I won't say how old it is, but she'll say how old your mom is, right?
Yeah, my mom's 79.
Okay, Myrna is older than Donna, so that's all you need to know, okay? And her friend Terry, shout out to Terry Nucio, who's in that age range, older than Donna, okay?
Yep.
Skydived last weekend
wow.
out of a plane, and she sent me the pictures. Can you imagine at that age? It was obviously a tandem jump, but
awesome.
she said it was. And you know, Lindsay, you could do that. You basically tandem jump with an experienced skydiver, and then you can decide whether or not you ever want to do it by yourself. But you can do like a test run with another skydiver where you're strapped to another diver. And then,
I want to try and do that while I'm here in Ohio. Maybe even with my dad, because my dad is like a certified skydiving, whatever it is.
No, is he really? Is he a certified skydiver?
Just have somebody take pictures or video so we can have
I know that he's allowed to go and like bring somebody with him or go by himself. I'll find out the details. But yes, I'll do that. And then we all need to go, even though Disney doesn't want us to.
I really want to go skydiving. I really want to go.
I'm in on that.
Are you so in on it?
In a heartbeat.
Mace, have you ever done anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I have.
By the way,
I did a static core jump, which means that the chute is connected to the plane. So the moment you jump out, your static cord is pulled and your chute opens. So I didn't have any free fall time. Free fall time is what I really am interested in. That's what a tandem jump will let you do. But, John, I will totally go with you. I'm totally in on this.
Yeah,
I want to go.
It's not a Disney thing. It's not a show. It's nothing official. Nobody's required. But if you and I decide to go skydiving, we're allowed to go skydiving.
I wonder if we could somehow record it. You know, like
we
put Singer through the car wash?
Yeah,
no,
we just need a GoPro cam on a helmet.
And does the GoPro have audio? I want to play it on the show.
Yeah, the GoPro will have audio.
Okay. Cool. Rent. All right, Mace, how about you? When's the last time you had an adrenaline rush?
It's been a while. I was just thinking about this. It's been a while. I can't think of the last crazy. And I'll have a dumb golf one like you. Not that it's dumb, but I hold out on the third hole at Rancho Park from about 30 yards for a two. That was really exciting to me to watch it go in the hole. So I would say that was it. But I'm in need of an adrenaline rush. So we're going to Costa Rica in a couple of weeks, and they have whitewater rafting, and they have zip lining, and I'm going to do all that stuff when I'm in Costa Rica because I need that. I need that. You know, that adrenaline vibe. I've done some stupid things in my career. I've done some crazy things in my career. And it's time to start doing them again.
Hey, Costa Rica, have you already booked your where you're staying?
Yes, we have.
Okay, so a friend of mine used to work in Costa Rica in the hotel business. And he told me that the pandemic has devastated Costa Rica more than almost anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
That 95% of their GNP is tourism.
Yeah.
Is people coming to visit. So did you get a good deal, or is it back to normal prices, or how is it?
No, got a really, really good deal. And I will say that it is on this, you know how you've, like, hot springs?
Yeah.
Which, you know, I love. There is a hot springs river on the property. So you can
like
just
a lazy
hang
river,
out.
You're putting a, yeah, oh.
Yeah, it's like naturally 98 degrees. It's thermal waters. I'm so psyched for it. We're going to go whitewater raft. We're going to do all that stuff. Hey, Jorge, we didn't get you. Adrenaline rush.
Last weekend, picked up the Harley to three digits, if you know what I mean.
Good
nice.
For you. Now, on a legal road or off road?
No, it's an open road heading up to the canyons.
So what highway were you on?
The 19. Let's just say the 19.
So, Mace, the last time I got in a vehicle going over 100 miles an hour was when I was driving out to where your mom lives.
Yep.
And you get past Palm Desert on your way to Indio, and there's just nobody out there.
Right after Morongo, all of a sudden, it's a raceway.
You've got – basically, you can test how far your car will go. So that's when I had the Porsche, and I got it up to 115.
I've never even seen a cop on that stretch.
Yeah, I think
never.
They,
you just try. I think the speed limit is whatever you want on that part of the 10. All right, there you have it. There is your question of the day. And coming up next, John, we'll continue to take calls 877-710-ESPN. But tonight is must win for the Dodgers.
What are you talking about?
We're four back. Every one of these games is must.
So if they lose, the season's over.
If they lose, the Giants are playing Arizona, the most awful team in the league.
Hey, Arizona beat us once.
Chalk up a win, and all of a sudden we're five games back. We've got a tough series against Philly. They've got an easy series at home against Arizona. This is going to be a critical week. The Dodgers need to keep up. We can't be five games out, six games out. We've got to stay in this thing and even pick up some ground. So, yes, I think every game the rest of the year is must win if we want to avoid the wild card game. We'll get into all that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.